major things that went viral yesterday.
Viral?
Yeah, the name Jerod Dyson went viral for a little while here in Phoenix.
Yeah, baby.
You just heard Aaron play the play-by-play, as we call it in the business, of the Jerod Dyson potentially Grand Slam stealing catch.
The Dice Man cometh.
Still have not seen an angle that shows for sure whether or not it would have been a granny or would have hit the wall. Not sure.
I'm guessing it would have hit the wall.
I think
that's just
so.
A guess. I think it would have hit the wall, but still, what an unbelievable play by Jerod Dyson.
And the second thing that that went viral, that boy, have I received a lot of tweets about this, so I appreciate that, was a cop in Virginia who pulls over a woman driving slowly in the left lane. And the cop tweets this out, and for better or for worse, I don't know if this is something I should be proud of or embarrassed about, that I haven't accomplished enough in life that I'm not known for something else.
Yes.
But I've received a lot of tweets as if I am the superhero left lane man.
You are the purveyor of all things left lane.
Yeah. So yes. I received a lot of tweets yesterday or emails from people that were letting me know, and two texts letting me know of the cop that's the champion of the left lane.
So how fast was she going, or slow in this case?
He did not report her speed. He just said there were 10 cars in the left lane behind her, and she was not getting over.
Why in the world did they not pass her on the right lane? Why didn't they just pass her, right?
There's nothing illegal, but it's considered rude and unsafe.
Totally understand
to pass
that.
On the right.
But once again, I mean, that's what you're going to do, right?
Yeah.
You're going to pass on the right because the left lane, obviously, the passing lane.
I think the problem is if other people who are doing nothing wrong are caught up in a center lane or a right lane, and now you're putting those people in the way because you've decided I'm fine camping in the left lane because I'm happy. And as long as I'm happy, I'm getting to where I want to go. And now you force everybody to weave in and out of traffic between the center lane, or now I'm using the right lane, now I'm the center. Now I can finally get back into the left lane because you were there the whole time.
I got to tell you, one of the coolest things, forget about the left lane, ladies and gentlemen, one of the coolest things I think that I read this morning was the fact that Puma, did you see that Puma is making a push once again? Coming back,
now,
ladies and gentlemen,
cool?
Into the NBA. Puma is doing this. I wore my Pumas for 4 years, the first 4 years I was in the league, ladies and gentlemen. Puma! Do you know the shoe I'm talking about, my young crunks? Google it, my young crunks, right? Puma. The first 4 years I was in the league, and I absolutely loved them. They were grass Dugleys. They were high tops that were lightweight, but had 8-penny nails coming out of the bottom of that sole, man. The best shoe that I ever wore, and I wore them until they split for 4 years. They just were the lightest.
Wait, the same
they were
shoes?
So the same shoe, Dugleys.
Wow.
I would not take another shoe. It was a game day shoe. I wouldn't wear them in practice. I'd wear them only in a game, and they lasted 4 years. The best shoe I've ever worn on a football field. And then the NFL, or I think it was a team, I can't remember which, but they signed a contract with Nike, and ba-boom. And Nike was exploding in the 80s. If you think back to the 80s, that's when they were just starting to explode. And my fourth year, that would have been, my fifth year in the league. So
early 1989. Early 80s was still Converse.
Yes.
And then Jordan was drafted in 84. And then the mid-80s, it started. And then once the Mars Blackman commercial started,
yes,
with Spike Lee and Michael, then Nike has not been stopped since.
I was thinking about that, just reading that story about how Puma is making a push to get back into the NBA. Vince Carter was the last guy. Think about that for a minute. 1998, Pacinonians. Vince Carter was the last guy Puma actually signed to a contract, and it only lasted 2 years in the NBA. And then they went ba-boom, Puma, right? Got out of that deal right there. That was the last guy that they signed. I just, this story right here, very sentimental value, no doubt about it. But those Pumas that I wore for the first 4 years I was in the NFL, they're in a box somewhere. I hope I find them.
It's interesting to talk about this subject. We're going to get into this a little bit at about 6:30 because of one of the quotes that DeAndre Ayton has after signing with Puma and how this would be a huge red flag, I would say, about 10 years ago.
Really?
And now you don't even think about it.
Sounds good, TJ.
And now, it's time for your Arizona Sports Starting Five.
Come on, Vinny.
You can't go to work without knowing these five huge stories.
Just bring it, then.
Here's Doug Franz and Rob.
Now punch it.
Wolfley. Number five.
Number five this morning, we don't normally talk a lot of National Hockey League. We'll talk Coyotes, not a lot of NHL. But whenever a general manager is this up front, it's kind of interesting. Barry Trotz wins the Stanley Cup, picks up a two-year contract extension as part of the contract deal for winning a Stanley Cup, but he wants a long-term, large money contract to be paid like one of the top three coaches since he's got the Stanley Cup.
He's going to get it.
So Brian McClellan, his general manager, isn't willing to give it to him, so the head coach resigns. All right. Then McClellan basically opens up and tells us why.
I mean, his representative, wants to take advantage of Barry's experience and Stanley Cup win and is trying to negotiate a deal that compensates him as one of the better coaches in the league, a top, four or five coaches. So he's looking for that type of contract.
How open is it? He wants a top four or five contract, yeah. And without saying it, he's basically saying, and we don't think he's worth that.
Barry Trotz just dropped the mic and metaphorically walked away.
He resigned and we accepted the resignation. I think we came to an agreement that it wasn't going to work. And we don't want to hold him back from coaching.
Yeah, after he said you had a punchable face.
That story amazes me that a GM was just that open with everybody.
Number four.
Number four this morning, you'll never guess. There were five NFL quarterbacks drafted in the first round of the 2018 draft.
Okay, five.
Only Lamar Jackson and Josh Rosen are signed.
Oh, okay.
How about that? Baker Mayfield still unsigned. Josh Allen still unsigned. And Sam Darnold, the number one. Yeah, he's only the first quarterback or the second quarterback drafted. Sam Darnold, all unsigned right now.
Unsigned right now. Not a big concern, obviously.
I know, but isn't that...
Absolutely. They will be signed when training camp opens.
What are you guys waiting for? It's slotted.
Number three.
Number three this morning is what Wolf talked about, the DeAndre Ayton Puma deal. Along with Marvin Bagley III, he's got a Puma deal. Jay-Z is now in charge of Puma as well for marketing purposes.
There we go.
But what's interesting about this story is the fact that the reason why Ayton wanted to go with Puma is he says because of their colors and new showmanship because I'm an entertainer.
Oh, no. You never want to be an entertainer. You want to be an artist.
Number two.
Number two this morning, David Johnson is ranked as number six. No, not on the NFL's top 100, on the NFL's most assuredly holding out of training camp list.
I try not to focus on that. Again, I'm just trying to focus on the guys that are here. Looking to get better each and every day with the ones that are here.
NFL.com listed the top nine contract holdouts in order that will really impact training camp. The top five, all big-time players. And then number six, David Johnson. Maybe there's six big-time players.
Well, for me, it's so important David Johnson doesn't miss a lot of time in training camp. And I'll tell you why as the show unfolds.
Wow.
Number one.
And the number one thing that you need to know about this morning, your Arizona Diamondbacks, I don't know if they stole it. I don't know how they did it. But they beat the Angels.
It was exactly what we needed, and we had the right guy step up, and Paul hit that big two-run home run that got us playing downhill baseball and immediately left yesterday behind. And yesterday was a tough loss. There's no doubt about it, but these guys have been battle-tested and tough, and you got to be able to digest those types of days and be ready the next day, and these guys were.
Who are your stars? Yeah, Paul Goldschmidt and Archie Bradley.
Yeah, I mean, exactly what we talked about earlier. You know, lose a game the way we did yesterday, it's really important to wash it, come back, and get this road trip started the right way.
Beat them like you stole it.
What can they do tonight? Torrey Lovello said it was exactly what they needed, and they stole the win by stealing a big hit from him. We go uptown next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Pitch is on the way, and Upton hits one to center, and he hit it well. Back goes Dyson, and he leaps. and he made the catch. A tag, a run will score, but Upton robbed of a home run by Gerard Dyson in center field on a leap at the wall. A run scores to make it 6-3. What a play by Dyson.
He just robbed him of a grand slam, it looked like.
Oh, my goodness. He killed that ball.
But as if we don't know this very well, living in the desert, when you're up 6-0, you can count on Justin Upton to hit a home run. And then,
oh my,
when it's bottom of the ninth and it's 7-4, and he represents a crucial run, you can count on him to hit into a double play.
There you go. Doug Blaze, look at Justin Upton. He has made it his mission in life to kill the Diamondbacks in the past. Has he not? Ever since he left, it seems like this guy, whenever he plays the Diamondbacks, he's going to make a little bit of noise, right? And I know that's a gross simplification of the facts, but it just seems that way. And there are stats that definitely back it up. He has hurt the Diamondbacks. It seems like almost every series, J-Up's going to hit at least one home run. Every series in which the Diamondbacks are playing a different team and J-Up has played for that team, he's going to hit a home run. And you know what? Which is always a bit of an indictment. It's one of the reasons why I look at J-Up and say, what are you doing, dude? What's going on? You're incredible talent. It's one of the reasons why he was a king in the locker room, a king in the clubhouse. And yet people looked at him as a deposed king because they wondered, why can't you do this on a regular basis? Why? Why can't you bring more consistency to your game? You're an incredible, incredible talent. You're a franchise talent. And yet, how many teams now has he played for?
Oh, I don't even remember.
I think it's six.
Yeah. It's quite a few. And then don't forget, God bless him, Kevin Towers. We still have the Diamondbacks still have Nick Ahmed from that trade and how important he is at locking up the middle of the field. I really like what Torrey Lovello said after the game. This is thanks to Fox Sports Arizona.
It was exactly what we needed, and we had the right guy step up, and Paul hit that big two-run home run that got us playing downhill baseball and immediately left yesterday behind. And yesterday was a tough loss. There's no doubt about it, but these guys have been battle-tested and tough, and you got to be able to digest those types of days and be ready the next day, and these guys were.
You know, I always listen to coaches, managers laugh at the phrase big win or this is a big game. Because on the one hand, every game is a big game. And yet normally the talk is how bad of a loss something is. But fans, and I do it too, you just expect to win. So then you kind of dismiss victory sometimes. And I look at last night's game. There were plenty of points in this game where you could argue the Diamondbacks didn't deserve to hold on to it. But when I look at yesterday's game, I don't think we're going to put this up there and remember it when game 162 is played. Yet, I think it's really important to look at this game in the context of the day before.
Okay.
When you look at Boxberger getting blown up, you look at all eyes on Alex Avila once again, you look at a series against a bad Mets team and a below-average Pirates team, and you only go 4-3 in that homestand, and then you have a lot of bad taste in your mouth. And when you stare down a lineup like the Angels have of Kinsler, Trout, Upton, Pujols to start a game, that could get ugly. Imagine what happens if they light up your $200 million ace early and you end up losing game one. That means Alex Avila might have cost you to last night's game and he didn't even play. That you're still living in the past. And I don't think it can be underestimated how important it was. First batter gets a hit. Second batter is Goldie.
Barrio will check him, and Goldie swings, and it's a high fly ball deep center field. Trout going back at the warning track, at the wall, 2-0 Diamondbacks. Straightaway center on a two-run homer by Goldie.
I think that was, you have that at the beginning, and then to have Archie so strong in the closeout, facing four batters, one in the eighth, three in the ninth, this is one of those wins. Again, we're not going to talk about it at the end of the year, but to make sure you erase exactly what happened on Sunday, it was a big deal.
You know, I love what Torrey said right there, just the fact that it got the team playing downhill. Paul Goldschmidt is two-run bomb, right? And I, once again, you know what? He is the tip of the spear, Paul Goldschmidt. Goldie, Goldie, Goldie. This is what he does. And he does impact the rest of the team. And I think the rest of the team coming along, Nick Ahmed, right? Nick Ahmed with a couple of hits. Ketel Marte drove one over the wall. John Jay staying hot. Jeff Mathis drove in a couple of runs,
what a
right?
pickup, John
but it
Jay.
Really, exactly. I know John Jay right now, just fire. But to me, again, it's never just going to be about the offense. It is also about the defense that this team
is
capable of playing. I can't get enough defense. I don't care, Basinonians. I don't care what sport it is that we're playing. I really don't. Give me a defense. Give me a defense.
Unfair point, and no, I'm not saying I would rather have Dyson than have Mike Trout. It was a tough play for Mike Trout. But what a comparison of the ball game that Jerod Dyson makes the incredible play to possibly take a home run, and Mike Trout has a home run bounce out of his glove and over the fence. Again, two very difficult plays, and no, I'm not saying I don't want Mike Trout as a Diamondback, but it was interesting that those were pretty important points of the game, and Diamondback's defense does it. You have an error at third base for the Angels, and yet you have some pretty big catches made by Diamondback's outfielders. I mean, there's quite a few games where you're watching, and the other team, I remember it happened a bunch of times in Colorado, where the opponent doesn't make plays and the Diamondback's defense does.
No, the Diamondback's defense, once again, you give me a defense in any team sport and you got a chance to win a game if you can go out there and defend. And I thought that was on display last night. The Diamondbacks, of course, with some excellent defense, some game-winning defense out in the field. And, you know, the Angels, a couple of errors that cost them.
I also think there was a mental component to this game for the Diamondbacks that I just thought was enormous. And that was the at-bat that Ian Kinsler had in the bottom of the eighth inning.
Mm.
So the Diamondbacks, and listen, we sometimes rip managers, at least me personally, when I disagree with something they did. I really thought it was important to focus on the decision to bring in Archie Bradley when you probably were thinking the whole time, I want Archie in the ninth. I want Archie in the ninth. And if you were watching the game last night, in the eighth inning, when it started to get a little bit hairy, they had De La Rosa in, and I didn't know he was still on the team, unfortunately. And all of a sudden, De La Rosa is getting blown up, and Archie sprints to get up and ready into the bullpen. And he starts throwing fire the second he's in there. And the reason why is they were going to wait till the bottom of the or the top of the inning. Mm-hmm. They were going to wait till the top of the ninth, get him warmed up for the bottom of the ninth. And they made the decision on the fly. We're going to need him now.
Mm-hmm.
Great decision by Torey Lovello. Archie Bradley comes in to face Ian Kinsler. And I didn't know, and give obviously the scouting department credit, but I didn't know Kinsler struggles with breaking pitches very well, because Ian Kinsler's mostly been an American League guy. But Archie Bradley, you could tell within two pitches, Ian Kinsler, A, cannot hit his fastball, and B, knows he can't hit his fastball, and was doing everything he could to sit on a changeup or breaking ball. That's all he was doing. Was, I'm going to wait to the last second, foul off your best fastball, and eventually you're going to crack. And I'm not trying to be a jerk to Archie. A lot of pitchers are dumb. They want to fool you. It's like you always say, you don't look like a genius running the football.
Yeah.
Too many pitchers will notice, you can't hit my fastball, but after a couple foul balls, they think, well, now I want to try to fool you. No, he cannot hit your fastball. Don't change. And Archie Bradley never gave in that at bat. No matter how many foul balls, it was fastball, fastball, fastball.
You know, the guy's a good curveball hitter. I've seen him sit on a bunch of curveballs. I watched that guy in the World Series when I was in middle school hit curveballs out of the yard. So, if I was going to get beat right there in that situation, it was going to be my best pitch, and that was the heater tonight. So,
yes, yes, yes.
But you know what? Honestly,
it was smart.
It was the heater, right? It was the heater, and I get that, Archie. But man, did anyone else worry about that? You know, just knowing. I know he's got a great fastball. I know that he does. But you got Trout, and you got Pujols. Stop and think about that. You want to go through a ninth inning? You've got Ian Kinsler, right? You got Kinsler, and you got Trout, and you've got Pujols.
And then in this ninth, it was Trout, Upton, Pujols.
I mean, yes, Trout, Upton, Pujols. Think about that in the ninth.
But you have to know you're going to get Upton out in the ninth because it's a clutch situation. Upton's not getting hit.
He hits into a double play. You got to be kidding me. How's that feel?
Got to love it. Join 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, at the Phoenix Suns 2018 NBA Draft Party. When is it? It's in 2.5 days. this Thursday, starting 4 p.m. live, Talking Stick Resort Arena. Head to the events page at arizonasports.com for complete details and to RSVP to watch the Suns make their historic number one overall pick.
Here we go.
Speaking of which, it's the rebirth of a brand. And could it also be the rebirth of the Phoenix Suns?
Hello.
That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Colombian goalie came off his line and then stopped and did nothing. Japan just scored on a header on a corner. Japan's up 2-1. Yes, I care.
Hey, Colombia's been down a man, right? Ever since like the third minute of the match, there was a red card.
Very well done, Paul.
How about that?
Very well done. I wish they brought red cards into other sports. Can you imagine? Even like for one play in football, you have to make a play with 10 men.
Yeah.
You don't get to play 11. I think that would be good. Jay-Z has decided he's going with Puma. And now the top two picks in a lot of mock drafts going with Puma. And one of them, DeAndre Ayton.
Ayton and Bagley, they may be the top two draft picks in Thursday's NBA draft. So they got two of the most high-profile rookies going on right now. They have a new Twitter handle that just came out today, at Puma Hoops, and more signings are expected this week. So Puma is all of a sudden back into hoops with a bang.
Sorry, I don't know for sure because I do not watch a lot of the CNBC Business News Channel, but Eric Chemi of CNBC Business News explaining Puma's back.
They haven't been in hoops for 20 years since 1998 when they did a deal with Vince Carter. They actually have two big endorsement deals. One of them was from Friday. That was Marvin Bagley Jr. out of Duke. And then the picture there, that's DeAndre Ayton. That's who they signed today.
So what happened to Puma's stock yesterday, Doug? Finish up the report there from CNBC. What's the P.E. ratio now? What exactly other metrics do we need to know on the Puma stock after the big news?
Number one, Paul, I have a guy, so I don't know any of that stuff.
Yeah.
Number two, I would assume that it would go reasonably well because now Ricky Fowler has friends. Because I only know Ricky Fowler and Puma. I don't know anybody else.
See, I didn't even think about that. I did not, right? I'm sitting here thinking, you know, what's honestly, this is so cool.
Not a bad idea to buy some, though, Paul.
I used to wear Pumas the first 4 years I was in the league, Paulie. That's what I wore right there, right? And I still have them in a box somewhere. They finally split my game day shoes, right? They split on me. But, man, that was the first thought I had. You, of course, went right to your pocketbook. And that makes so much sense.
You know what? I wish I still had my Pumas from Bret Hart Junior High School and the 7th grade basketball team. I wish I still had those things. But look, I still remember when LeBron, the chosen one back then, some 20 years ago, was coming out of high school and he signed with Nike and everyone was like, oh, the amount of money Nike just paid LeBron. And it was like nine figures or something absurd over the life of the deal. And Nike's stock, upon announcing the news of LeBron signing, went up gained like $500 million or something absurd. I mean, the cap figure on the market went up way more than they ever paid LeBron. And so instantly from day one on announcing the signing, Nike was a winner.
It's really the story, though, if you're a Suns fan, I find it really fascinating because of what it would have meant 10 years ago and how little it means now. And I don't even mean the Puma aspect of it. There's a couple quotes from DeAndre Ayton that were issued in about this in an ESPN article that I read last night. One of them is really nice. Puma is popular in the Bahamas, and I didn't realize this, but it's Usain Bolt. And even though Jamaica is not the Bahamas, I think that's, you can understand why the Caribbean culture then really gravitates to it. And Ayton said, I've always seen the brand growing up. Bolt is one of the first people I saw with it. It's important to me that someone I identify with and admire as an athlete is with the same brand. So I get that as a kid. But then when he started talking about being an entertainer, then it was like, whoa, wait a minute. That's usually the quotes from 10 years ago where you would say, oh, you're more interested in being an entertainer than you are a big time basketball player. He said, I see someone like Rihanna, who is a lot like me. We have a similar background. She's putting her stamp on the brand. That's something that appeals to me from the creative style.
Just stop it, DeAndre. She doesn't play Fortnite.
Yet, at the same time, nowadays, Does anybody care? Does anybody care that DeAndre Ayton considers himself an entertainer versus a beast down low?
My hand is up.
Go ahead,
no, my hand is up. Pick me because I do care. Because you know why? He's completely unproven in the NBA. if and when you make an all-star team, if and when you lead your team to the playoffs, if and when you actually win something, then you know what? You can branch out and you can be multimedia and you can be an entertainer beyond the sports world all you want. But right now, young man, it's basketball and basketball only, and you have to prove yourself at the highest level.
You know, honestly, though, you do want him to be an entertainer, Basinonians, right? Because an entertainer, of course, gives people what they want. An artist gives people what they didn't know they wanted. Okay, we know exactly what we want from DeAndre Ayton, right? We know it. Give us, DeAndre, what it is that we want that is a 7'1", 260-pounder with a 40-inch vertical that balls out. Give us that guy. Okay, give us a rim protector. Give us a guy that has so much capability, so much skill. That's what we all know that you are. Please be that entertainer. But if you're talking about being an entertainer, as in Jay-Z being an entertainer, what are you doing?
I mean, entertain us on the hardwood.
Get off the video game.
Not on stage, not elsewhere on some award show. Entertain on the hardwood, the 94 feet. That's what everybody wants. That's what you. By the way, did you see where Marvin Bagley and who he credited for going with Puma? He credited you know who.
I don't care.
He says, he told Bleacher Report.
I didn't expect that at all.
I didn't know that.
He respects the mission of the big baller brand, and Bagley says he thinks that Puma offers a similar path.
I ain't apologizing about nothing. I don't have to apologize about nothing because I don't do nothing I regret.
So he's actually following the footsteps of LeVar Ball, and I'm not sure what to think about that.
He can start spelling his name L.A. Bron. He'll be here.
That gives me pause.
I'll give Bagley credit, though, because if he says, I understand starting a new shoe company for attention, at least go with something that's got a 40, 50-year history that's now reemerging again.
Yes.
You're not starting your own thing. So I'll give Bagley a little bit of room. Not much, but a little bit there.
Well, the biggest signing by Puma, Basinonians, no doubt, is Jay-Z, period. Jay-Z, right? He's going to have a voice on product and will also help identify which upcoming NBA players and entertainers may best be suited for the Puma brand. This is a big, big deal right here. Supposedly, he's going to be creative director of marketing or something like that. That's going to be his title right there. That's a huge signing because of the court cred and the street cred that Jay-Z has.
They're trying to compete with Nike, Adidas, Under Armour, all these big players. But what's interesting about Puma, these players that they signed, Bagley and Ayton, they said they like Puma because of the entertainment factor that this brand provides. Because they've already got deals Puma does with Meek Mill, Rihanna, Kylie Jenner, and they've got global sport endorsers like Usain Bolt. But they had been absent from the NBA for 20 years. So this is going to be a big fight with all these shoe companies.
Well, the Suns don't just need wins. They need an identity. And DeAndre Ayton is going to go a long way towards providing a national identity. Devin Booker's been getting more love here in the last 6 months to a year, and we've seen him on the national stage a little bit in some of these commercials and some of these other little skits and the late night guys and all that kind of stuff. But DeAndre Ayton is going to bring that spotlight to the Suns, something they have sorely lacked ever since Steve Nash and company left.
I think it's sad that you're right on two accounts. One, because it's you, Paul. Two, because this isn't college football, where you do need to get national attention for the polls to be impressed with. The fact that an NBA professional team needs national attention should be a joke. Unfortunately, you're so right, because when it comes to free agency, there are a lot of players that care about that, and they think, I'm not going to go with the Suns because they stink. Sure. I'm not going to go with the Suns. Who knows anything about the Suns? And that actually goes into their thinking, when if we want to be the team that they used to be under Jerry Colangelo, kids, you might not realize this, but if you are if you're a young guy, young girl, and you're somewhere around 12, 13 years old, there was a time before you were born that everybody wanted to play for the Phoenix Suns. Well, now nobody does.
Well, guess what? Pros, just like college guys, you know, whether you're being recruited or by a college team or recruited in free agency, you look at the national TV schedule. How many times am I going to be on national TV? And the Suns, I think they were on TNT once last season. Once.
And that was only because the Golden State had reached their limit.
Let me go ahead and put a bow on this, Basinonians, right? DeAndre Ayton, let's hope he is an entertainer, ladies and gentlemen, because once again, by definition, an entertainer gives people what they want. An artist gives people what they didn't know they wanted. Big difference.
It's not very often that you have this scenario. Le'Veon Bell, Khalil Mack, Earl Thomas, Aaron Donald, Julio Jones, and David Johnson, all on the same list.
Oh, an all-pro team?
No, it's a bad list.
Uh-oh.
It's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
It goes in my wallet. I bought like I've been Wallace. I can't do one thing about it. So they put me on a tag guy. Definitely not gonna trip. I got that bad guy. Wonder why they treat me like the bad guy. You say I ain't the best, but that's a bad lie. I'ma do what I want.
Friends,
just leave me alone.
Don't let friends rap.
If I don't do what you want, then you want me gone.
I mean, you have to know whether you're good before you walk into the studio. We've all failed in this building when it comes to talking to Wolf about it.
Yes.
And obviously, Lev Bell's friends have failed him too.
What's happened, Douglas?
Lev Bell's rapping about the fact that Steelers fans think he's the bad guy because he won't negotiate a long-term contract or even a short-term contract unless it's got big money. Coming up in the middle of July is a major date when it comes to some battles going on with contracts, because if you are hit with the franchise tag, you cannot sign a long-term deal. I believe the date is July 15th.
No.
I can't remember for sure.
Yeah, whatever
but
you said.
Yeah, don't jam, because you can't dance and he can't rap.
That's how I roll.
Either one. And you're not rolling at all.
You know that I want to stay. Some people just can't relate. I'm going to be honest, right?
We know you do.
This is cool. I love this
little
something-something right here from Lev Bell.
There's nothing here, actually. So there's a list of names that you don't want to be on. Normally, this would be a great list to be on. Lev Bell, Khalil Mack at number 2, Aaron Donald at number 3, Earl Thomas at number 4, Julio Jones at number 5,
yeah,
and David Johnson at number 6.
I see.
Completely speculation, complete subjectivity. There's nothing objective about that.
Well, list broadcasting,
but this
right?
is one man's opinion on NFL.com ranking the missed minicamp / OTA practices / contract battles that are going on in the NFL that will most likely affect training camp.
So 9 most likely candidates to hold out of training camp. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Number 1, always a great idea to do the top 9, because you always wonder, why did you do 9?
Because there's only 9 that are worthy.
It's
maybe.
Always 5 or 10. So you do 9, you immediately get people thinking, why did you just do 9?
Yes.
But then there is the fact that the star power of this list, Bell, Mack, Donald, Thomas, Jones, is pretty huge. And then you see David Johnson on the list.
Shocking.
And how does it not make you go, okay? I mean, I realize it's just one guy's opinion. It's not like something where you're going to swerve off the road. You're not going to call a buddy. Did you hear David Johnson's the 6th most ranked player in the league to hold out and have it affect training camp? I mean, you're not going to get into a huge discussion about it at work. But the fact that David Johnson is the last guy of the 9 before we get into some other players, you're like, what? Why is he holding out? But it is something to look at, that somebody at the NFL is saying this is going to affect training camp.
Boy, you know what? Honestly, it is a little concerning, and I'm a little concerned about it, Basinonians, right? I just wonder how resolute David Johnson and his camp really are about this, right? How resolute are they? Will they come in good faith to training camp? And could we possibly see a walkout of training camp, right? If, in fact, they do show up in good faith, how long is this going to go? Honestly, I don't think it's going to go into training camp. That's just a guess, but you know me, I'm a positive person, right? I mean, I'm a positive guy. I'm an optimist by nature. Had to be growing up on a dead end street at the bottom of a hill that emptied into a gravel pit. Having said that, I don't believe this is going to go into training camp, but if it does, this is not good. It's not good for David Johnson. It's going to be a bit of a distraction if, in fact, it goes on a week, 10 days, whatever it may be. It could become a distraction. But more importantly, I don't think it's good for David. He's still learning the game, ladies and gentlemen. He's still learning it. And now you've got a new offense. And I realize he's been out there in OTAs. You can talk to me all about that. He's got the playbook. He understands the offense, right? The terminology, all of that. But it's completely different when you start playing football. And that means you have pads on. How you see a game, a play, how you process a play is completely different when you have pads on, obviously. This is a new offense. This is a complex offense. that could put him behind the eight ball. And I don't know about you, but if there's one guy I don't want behind the eight ball getting off on the wrong foot in this offense, it'd be David Johnson. Sam Bradford, number one. Let's go Sam Bradford, number one, and David Johnson, number two. That's what's concerning to me.
I don't like at all the fact that he held out of minicamp. I just think, David Johnson, we all know how good you are talent-wise. You were the one that readily admitted, granted Bruce Arians was kind of throwing you under the bus quite a bit, but you were the one that readily admitted the frequency the way you described it. I have no idea if it was a lot, if it was very, very little and you're just hard on yourself. I'm not qualified to say that. But he admitted a lot of mental errors and thought there were a lot of things he could get better at. And that is in an offense that he had since his rookie year.
Yeah.
Now you've got a new head coach, new offensive coordinator, new quarterback. I don't think there's a complex offense. I don't think there's ever a good practice to miss when you're in that situation, no matter how long of a veteran that you are. However, if you want to be specific in the way it reads, it does say that NFL Network's Mike Garofalo said recently he doesn't see any way Johnson plays for the $1.9 million number, but it sounds like a new contract is a matter of when.
Yes.
And not if.
Yes. And you know what, honestly, I think the Arizona Cardinals want to give him a new contract. They love David Johnson, right? And rightfully so. We all do. David Johnson is a great kid. This is a great kid. Now he's a man, obviously. Right? I'm sorry, but I'm fat and 55. I have a tendency to call anybody that is young a kid. And David Johnson is a great man, honestly. And the kind of guy that you can build a franchise around, right? The kind of guy that you want to be the face of your franchise. The kind of guy you want out and about. The kind of guy that you want to build your offense around, a running back-centric offense around, like David Johnson. Absolutely. And he has every right to go out there and make as much money as he possibly can. I'm all for the player doing that. It's just how you go about getting there that matters. He's got to be careful. Because if, in fact, he misses 2 weeks of training camp, maybe even 3 weeks, dare I say 3 weeks of training camp. Oh, my goodness. If he misses all of training camp because of this holdout, it could be November before he truly, truly fits in the offense and the offense gets going. And that's bad.
When I look at these names, though, on this list, the only one that I really would be terribly concerned about, and I kind of laugh at it because I don't care, would be the Earl Thomas name. The reason why is I don't think Lev Bell will actually not know the offense. Now, granted, they've got a new OC, but I don't think he's gonna not know the offense. I think he'll be okay. And this is kind of a continual thing with him in Pittsburgh. He's on the list. Khalil Mack, I think that a deal is going to get done there because if it doesn't, you're a defensive player. Go hit the quarterback.
Yeah.
And I know defensive players aren't going to like that because, yes, there's some complexity.
Edge guy.
But he'll be okay. Aaron Donald, I don't think it's a big deal because, number one, he came back and actually like 2 days before the first game and was a dominant player all year.
Yeah.
But it actually affects his unrestricted free agency status if he doesn't get to camp, I think, by August 15th or something. So because of that, he's not going to want to miss much time. And then I look at the other names. I think the big one there is Earl Thomas as the one guy I do think could have a pretty good holdout. And then there's a question, is he going to play?
Yes.
I think that's the one out of this list that you would really go, okay, that's a story. I think the other ones are, let's make a list.
Yeah.
But, hey, every day that David Johnson's not under, gets a new contract, is a day where this is a story.
Once again, I think it's going to happen before training camp. Let's hope that's the case.
Coming up in about 30 minutes, it's Ticket Window Tuesday, so you've got an opportunity to be a winner if you're listening in the 7:15 beautiful part of the program. It's presented by Arizona Central Credit Union, and we're giving you the chance to win tickets to see Kevin Hart live at Talking Stick Resort Arena. He'll be there on July 1st. Your chances to win today are 7:15, 10:15, 12:15, and 4:15, and we do it every Tuesday, and those are always your chances to win. So if you're ever driving around and it's Tuesday, Make sure you're paying attention at 7:15 to us, 12:15 and 2:15 to Bickley and Murata, and then at 4:15 to Burns and Gambo. Coming up next, according to his stats, Goldie Slump may not have hurt him nearly as bad as you think. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.